When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Friday morning. Yes, a feel-good football Friday. We've got a fun, big announcement at 8 a.m. concerning Boomer and Geo live at the Paramount on November 22nd. So make sure that you're listed. And then 2 hours from now, very, very excited to tell you who will be joining us on that Friday night in Huntington. We had a game that we were hoping, because on paper it looked like it, a really high-scoring, fun, controversial, up-and-down-the-field-in-the-second-half football game on Thursday Night Football last night. And, of course, here we are with the officials again at the end of this game. The Jets need to win, and that's something we're going to be saying every single week here on out if they want to get back into this AFC playoff race. But the result last night certainly did help them, if you are hanging on to hope. And at some point, I'm sure we'll mention the Giants and the Panthers in some sort of comedic way, because that is the worst game probably of the year, and it's overseas on top of it, standalone in the morning on Sunday. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Looking very nice. Good morning to the cutie pie. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Good morning to the cutie pie. Ting-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah, ting-a-ling-a-ling. Ting-a-ling-a-ling my ass. I will say that a couple things. The NFL's got a major problem on their hands. I mean, they really do. I mean, these officiating gaffes are... Look, there are too many of them, and too many of them in really big spots in standalone games. And I don't know what it is. I know it's not an easy job. I don't want to add more officials to the field. I don't know how they get this thing right. I mean, a couple of these things that took place at the end of this game last night were just so obvious and just were not called. And I personally yesterday picked the Bengals to cover, and I picked the Ravens to win. And I picked it to be a high-scoring game because neither team can play defense.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was right on all of those fronts. So I'm happy. I wake up this morning, I'm happy. I got
You're
it
happy
right.
You're happy to be right. Nothing makes you happier.
I predicted it right. I felt right about it and everything. Mm. But what I don't feel right about is watching the way these games are unfolding late in the game. I love the fact that Zach Taylor went for 2 points at the end of the game to try to win the game, because he saw what Bill Belichick saw many, 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 many years ago, when Bill Belichick had to go for it on fourth down because they couldn't stop Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. And everybody asked Bill, you know, after the game, you know, why would you go for it on your side of the 50, you know, on fourth down? And he was like, were you watching the game? Did you feel the game? I mean, did you see what the other team was doing to our defense?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Lamar Jackson and the Ravens were doing to the Bengal defense, man. He had an unbelievable fourth quarter, Lamar did. And it all really stemmed from a fumble by Chase Brown.
Yeah, that started everything. You're right.
Right, because after that fumble, man, four straight touchdowns by Lamar's offense.
And in that previous offensive possession, the Ravens offense got booed off the field by their home fans. They went from that to total explosion and victory, but... The officials' discussions are tiring because it's every single week. But I guess the one question that I have and would need to know, and it's going to be inconsistent. It's a very tough job. There's different crews, different guys, everything. It's never going to be perfect. But what I need to know, just like this and every other sport, late in a game, are these guys afraid to throw the flags? Because they don't want to be the reason why a team wins or lose, which is ironic, because if they don't throw the flag, it's the same thing. But I feel like some guys in these situations are like, I don't want to call that holding. I don't want to call that and give them another opportunity. And then I have to stand there and be the one who called the flag. Oh, by the way, on the road.
You know? But I would just say, if it's a penalty, it's a penalty. And, you know, how many times are we all sitting there as fans watching the game, and we're all waiting to see whether or not there's a penalty flag after, like, a big play down the field?
Sure.
And how many times is there a penalty flag that there's holding, or if there's a ball that's missed down the field and it's third and 17 and all of a sudden you got an illegal contact out of the blue somewhere and it gives the offense an automatic first down? I mean, at the end of the day, you have to call the game the way the game is supposed to be called.
I'm not arguing that, but do you think it comes into play because it's human nature? Like, would that, if that happened in the second quarter, that two-point try, are they throwing flags on that play?
I'm not so much worried about that one as I am, you know, the actual hit to the quarterback's head again. You know, if you have Joe Burrow getting, you know, face mask is getting pulled, I mean, like, you got to call the play. You got to call it as you see it. It's kind of like, you know, when you think about what happened to Sam Darnold when he almost had his head ripped off.
Yeah, that was one of the worst missed calls
again,
ever.
So we have a lot of this, and the NFL's got a major problem. I mean, that, you know, I don't suspect that anybody from the NFL office is going to come out and say, you know, yeah, we understand that we have, you know, inconsistency issues and things of that nature. And they're not going to do that. But we as fans are frustrated by it. And I know that, I'm sure Bengal fans are a little bit disgusted this morning, if to say the least. But
all right, but I'll ask you again, though, because I am curious to your answer to this. I know.
Many times we've said in basketball games, swallow the whistle, don't be a part of the game, let the players play.
We never talked about that in football terms, really.
I never believed that. When I was playing, I never did, and I certainly, as a broadcaster, all the years that I've done games, I don't believe that. I actually do. Knowing Gene Steratore as well and working with him for as long as I have, there is no question in my mind that there's nothing nefarious going on. There's none of that I'm saying. Is it human nature that you would put your whistle away and just let the players play? You know, when there are obvious penalties, you have to call them no matter where they happen in the game.
Yeah, of course, but do you think that is an influence, really? Because I'm trying to find an answer. So, like, there is an official who is watching Joe Burrow get smacked in the face, and that gets called probably 95% of the time in the NFL, and in this 5% in a national TV standalone game that is going crazy in a fourth quarter, and it's the road team that would have benefited from it, is human nature influencing that call because someone not wanting to throw it and getting involved? Because there's no other explanation for this stuff.
I know. You know, the other thing too is that, you know, Joe Burrow was asked about it after the game.
He said, I never get those calls.
He goes, he didn't say this, but he's thinking, look, I'm not Tom Brady. You know, they're not going to treat me like a piece of fine china. I'm Joe Burrow. I play for the Bengals. This is the way it goes every week.
Yeah, but I mean,
I got to tell you, he was amazing last night too. You know, if I could ever design the way that you want to play the position of quarterback, I mean, totally, this is what teams want. This is how you're supposed to play it. Not helter skelter. You know, in control of everything, throwing great passes over the tops of outreach, you know, the arms that were stretched out and hands that were stretched out by the Baltimore defenders. I mean, this game was about as picture perfect from a quarterback standpoint as you could say. Now, on the other side, I mean, I can't say enough about what Lamar did. He just, again, because their defense can't stop the pass, and even though they did have three sacks, Matabuke had a really good game yesterday for the Ravens, and I don't think the Bengals had it. I don't remember the Bengals having a sack at all last night. But these two quarterbacks going head-to-head, Lamar owns Joe Burrow in terms of head-to-head matchups. And that fourth quarter after that fumble, I mean, he was lightning. And Joe Burrow, to his credit, you know, was matching him play for play. And I love the fact that Zach Taylor came down and went for it and said, hey, I'm going to go for a two-point play. And really, if you're the coach, you're sitting there going, my defense just got shredded four straight series for touchdowns.
Oh, going for two was an absolute right call. I mean, there's no two ways about it, and yes. I think that most football fans would agree, and it's a shame for me because I really like this Bengals team. I like watching them. I wanted them to, but they're still in the mix. They could definitely still go on a run and make it into the postseason, but this was a critical game for them. I mean, they lost these two really close games to the Ravens. They lost a really close game to the Kansas City Chiefs. We know that they can compete with the best in the conference. They may not get that opportunity because of these weird slow starts that they have and not being able to finish. But watching, I would have to say that right now, even more so than Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, watching Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase together, it's the most effortless looking great play in the league. It's like it's supposed to happen. Like when he,
it's like when Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams are doing that up in Green Bay,
right? In their prime, 100%. It's just like when he lets that ball go. You know, Chase is going to get it. It's right there in his hands. It's like a soft catch, and then bang! It's yards after the catch. I mean, the numbers that they put up are just insanity. And I know that the Ravens' pass defense is terrible, but watching those two guys. I mean, not to now compare it to the New York teams, but watching what we've seen from the offenses here in the two teams that we cover every single day and then seeing that, it's a different football game. It's a different game. It's not the same sport.
Well, you can say that about a lot of teams in the NFL because the Bengals do, they have a special offense. There's no question about it. And it all stems from the quarterback and wide receiver. They're about as explosive. You know, that's Joe Montana and Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it looks like to me. And I would just say, what? The Bengals have got to make it to the playoffs. They have to. I mean, that's one of the more enjoyable teams to watch.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Here's the good news for the Jets. Both the Jets and the Bengals have the same amount of losses in the AFC. So, the Jets are still, very much in it. They have to beat Arizona this week, which, I'm going to question a little bit later on in the show. But I would, when you start looking at these things, the Jets still have an opportunity for the seventh or the sixth playoff spot, I believe. And, you take a look at the wild cards now. The Ravens are 7-3. The Chargers are 5-3. And the Broncos are 5-4. You need the Broncos to lose this week against Kansas City Chiefs. That would be another AFC loss for them. And you need the Jets to win and get the 4-6. And if they get the 4-6 and the Colts lose and they're 4-6, and you play the Colts next week, this is the path that, maybe I was talking about prior to the New England game. But now all of a sudden,
yeah.
These other teams could be losing around. The Chargers, they should win at home this week. They have a relative, I would say, easy game, but they play the Titans, so they should get the 6-3
and
as well.
And the Broncos are on the road at Kansas City.
Right,
so.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. The Colts have to play Buffalo at home. Buffalo hasn't won in Indianapolis in a long time. And the Broncos have to go to Kansas City, and that's a division game, and the Broncos can be a pain in the ass coming off of an ass-kicking of their own to the hands of the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. I mean, it really, for me, everything you're saying is right about the Jets' chances and the path and what Aaron Rodgers has said, but I mean, I don't believe they're winning this game this week, and I think that it's just not going to happen. It's hard for me to believe that they're going to, after everything I've seen from them, go to Arizona and win and put it together against maybe we use spunk for the Cardinals.
So I was
a spunky team up there in Arizona,
right? So I got to believe there's going to be a 9-8 team that's going to make it.
Sure, yeah.
There may be two 9-8 teams that make it.
Yeah,
and the Jets don't have a lot of room for error. They really don't. I mean, and this is one of those games where you feel like without knowing the future, you feel like this has got to be a game where it's got to be balls to the wall. You got to win the game. You can't come out flat. You can't have a flat halftime. You just got to, whatever it takes to keep the energy up and to keep it going and somehow just come away with a win. Doesn't matter what it looks like. All it matters is it's a W. And then the next thing you come back. If everything breaks the way you'd like it to break, which, maybe one of these other teams will end up winning this week where we don't think that they will, but. And then if you win, then all of a sudden, the light is on come Monday and things are completely changed.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping for, selfishly, from the standpoint of having a team that has a shot to make the playoffs here and carries us through November and December would be great for the show, be great for Jets fans to get a taste of that and something exciting. It's just my evaluation and watching this team. It's just hard for me to believe it, even after the win against Houston. I have to see consistency. I've got to see back-to-back wins. I've got to see the offense play well again. I got to see the defense get after and find and tackle Kyler Murray. I cannot go on a leap of faith that they can go up there and win that game. And if they do, great. I am going to be thrilled because it's going to be just another one of those, downtrodden mornings where I felt like it was over after the Patriots game. Now, the way things have broken, they still have an opportunity. Of course, we know they're not mathematically eliminated. There's teams that are ahead of them that aren't that good, that have better records that they could easily come up and jump over. So there's definitely a path, but there's two conversations. Is there a path? Yes. Are they capable of going down that path?
Do they have the vehicle in which they can handle that path? And I'm saying no to that. But a win here changes all that. It really does.
And the other thing, too, is that it's indoors. It's out in the desert. Aaron Rodgers should be perfectly fine throwing the football. I don't know if they'll have the dome open or not out there. Is that a retractable dome? I think it is.
Yes, sir.
It is, right? Yeah, so I think that they'll probably have it open, I would imagine, if there's a beautiful day, a beautiful, you know, November, you know, desert afternoon. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Wild blueberries. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's on his way to Germany.
He's not there yet.
I don't know. When did they leave? Did they leave yesterday? I'm assuming they probably left last night, I think.
Yeah.
Or two nights ago.
An interesting one. I was thinking about this. Does he sneak away on the team plane, even though has nothing really to do with the Giants out there?
Because he's on the team plane.
Oh, great. Good for him.
And I would imagine that the Giants probably brought some, you know, sponsors and stuff. It's probably, they take a big plane over there. They probably bring some sponsors, and I'm sure they, you know, I wonder if Eli's with him. Eli, that would be a question.
Actually, look, he's actually doing the game for Westwood One, Mr. Phil Sims.
Yeah. Oh, he is. He's actually calling the game, too.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So he's working for Westwood One.
He's on the giant plane. He's like a giant ambassador. Then he goes over there and calls the game. I mean, this balance of nature thing is reinvigorated.
It really has.
It's unbelievable. Just nonstop.
He is grinding it out, and it's all because of the balance of nature fruit and veggies. Just, oh, my gosh.
Guy's papaya. An animal, man.
Absolutely. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan. I'd do it.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Football Friday. Jerry Recco is here with some highlights from last night. Very exciting game, especially in the fourth quarter between the Bengals and the Ravens. What's up, Jerry?
Well, good morning to you. How are you? Everything good this morning?
Everything is great.
You're looking very nice.
Okay.
Why so sad, Sugar Muffin?
I'm not sad at all. I'm good.
No, that's what I wanted to say. After we opened up with good morning, cutie pie.
Good morning to the cutie pie. Looking very nice. Good morning to the cutie pie.
So reminds me of church.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling, ding-a-ling-a-ling.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. Yes, whether you have like a priest who's got a terrible singing voice, like would sing, you know, oh, to the man at a holiday, like holding up the communion.
Yes.
I know exactly what you're talking about. But after we played the good morning to cutie pie to Boomer, and he came right out of that going, the NFL's got a major problem on their hands. I was hoping.
Why
so sad, Sugar Muffin?
There goes our Feel Good Football Friday.
Well, we can try and bring it back for you.
Right. And then he goes, you got ting-a-ling-a-ling my ass.
I was like, oh, I guess we're not having fun today. Yeah. No fun.
We're going to have fun, but you know, there are other issues that I got to deal with too as well. So
other issues?
Yeah.
Oh, the Rangers were terrible. That's right.
We'll get there. Sweet sugar beauty, you're looking like a cutie. Sweet sugar beauty, you're looking like a cutie.
Yeah, I didn't realize going to Madison Square Garden, I was going to see Disney on Ice last night.
Oh, that's right. You went.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Oh.
Absolutely effing brutal.
Oh.
At least you got a lot of goals to watch. Nah.
The wrong team.
I'm aware.
I'm in the place, you know, standing for the national anthem. I'm getting to my seat and there's already a freaking goal. It was just painful to watch.
Well,
it's time to put the lines back together and let them start playing again. Instead of all this, you know, moving guys around and everything, it's not working.
Well, now we know why you're so sad, Sugar Muffin.
Now we know.
I'm not mad. I'm not sad.
Oh, it sounds like it. Mad and sad.
It does. It does sound sad.
You drop a grand on pit tickets, like you'd like to see at least a little bit of competitiveness.
Hey, the Islanders won.
So did the Devils.
Yeah.
It really was a winner Thursday, aside from the Rangers.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
Right? I mean.
Oh, cry me a river, rich boy.
The Islanders were down a bunch of guys and really showed fight.
A lot of grit.
Yep.
All right, we are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And we're brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. So let's start with the game last night in Baltimore. You've got the Bengals down a touchdown and looking to either tie it or try and take the lead.
From the 5-yard line, Burrow catches the shotgun snap. He throws it into the end zone.
Boom!
Chase!
Boom!
Makes the catch on the back line for the touchdown. And it looks like the Bengals will go for two with 38 seconds to go to try to win the game.
How good is that pass?
The pass is great. The route is great. You know, he's so tall. He can go up, but he's got big hands. He's got long arms. Here's the thing. How much money are they going to have to pay him? He's going to set the mark for wide receivers this offseason.
Well,
they haven't paid him yet. No,
remember he wasn't going to show up, and then he did.
You know, they did the same thing that with the Vikings did with Justin Jefferson.
Yeah,
this
right.
offseason, and he'll eclipse Justin Jefferson. These numbers that they're putting up are ridiculous. You know, and I just here's the one thing that defense has just been horrible for the Bengals, and that's Lou Anarumo. We love the guy. He's a Staten Island guy. Mm-hmm. I love the guy. And he's the guy that's always lauded every time they play Kansas City, how they bottle up Kansas City. This defense has been brutal.
So that gets them within a point. You heard Horde and Lapham talk about going for two for the lead. It wouldn't have been the win because there were still 40 seconds to go, but it would have put them in front.
Cincinnati down 35-34. Burrow in the shotgun. Two receivers to each side of the formation. Sample in the backfield to block. Burrow is ready. Extends the hands. Catches the shotgun snap. Looking. Throwing. Oh. Incomplete for Tanner Hudson at the goal line. There is no penalty flag down. And Cincinnati is going to lose by a point in Baltimore.
Again, Horn and Lapham, and there were potential two penalties on that play. The one, of course, to the face, and either the hold or the early contact, whatever.
I think if Burrow throws it in his chest, he's got a chance to make a play for it. He just threw it high.
Here was Al Michaels on Amazon after they talked to, I think it was Terry McCauley that looked at it and said the two penalties should have been called.
Too many games end this way. You miss calls, the whole thing. It's so frustrating to the fans. So frustrating.
All right,
whatever, Al.
Was that Eddie or was that you?
That was Eddie.
I actually couldn't tell. My head was all right. First from the Ravens. They win the game 35-34. Some of these numbers are ridiculous. In the fourth quarter, mind you, Lamar Jackson threw three touchdown passes and 198 yards in the fourth quarter, including the go-ahead score to Rashad Bateman. I think he had a perfect passer rating in that fourth. He went for 290, four scores, ran for 33. Derrick Henry, another touchdown run. Here was John Harbaugh. Tough but solid night.
We're very grateful for that win, and we're very grateful for our guys, man. The way our guys play, how they fight, how they don't give up. Just what he said, there's still time on the clock. You keep fighting. Found a way right down to the end. Even the defense getting the stop on the 2-point play. And that's what it took.
And
even the defense, which has been so terrible.
Make committing two penalties. But, you know, the whole thing changed. The whole night changed for Baltimore on the Chase Brown fumble.
The fumble.
Yeah.
They had the ball up 21-7, so about 6.5 to go in the
rolling,
third.
They were rocking and rolling and getting ready to go downfield again. And unfortunately, you know, young man makes a crucial error, and then it leads to four straight possessions where the Baltimore Ravens scored touchdowns.
And then here you have these numbers for the Bengals. Joe Burrow, 420, four touchdowns, no interceptions. Jamar Chase, 11 catches, 264, three touchdowns of 67, 70, and 5 yards.
He's got like 457 yards in two games versus the Ravens this year, which is an NFL record.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Here was Burrow first. No call there on the 2-point conversion. There was another play, too, on that drive where he got hit late.
And they didn't call it.
Where they did not call it. Here was Burrow.
I feel like I've never really gotten those calls, so I don't really expect that. I felt like there were a couple that were close, but again, I don't expect those.
Here was Chase. So I'm going for 267. He's throwing for 400 yards, and we are 4-6.
Yeah, it's crazy to say that. I would never in a million years expect me to play this well, and he played this well, and we still have a record like this.
Well, they do. Here is Zach Taylor, the decision to go for two.
Zach, what was the thought process on the 2-point conversion?
Came here to win.
And they did not, and the Ravens are now 7-3.
You know, the thing about it is the Bengals get off these horrendously slow starts. like the first month of the season. And that's where they put themselves in this situation. Now, I think they're still good enough, and I still think they can make a run, and they should be able to get a wild card here. And then that's a team, because of that offense and that combination of Burrow and Chase that you wouldn't want to play, assuming they all make it healthy to the end of the season.
What's their schedule look like? I'm looking it up right now. Is it favorable?
You know, they again, they're a team that can beat anybody they play.
So let's just take a look at their next four. So they're at the Chargers, home to the Steelers, at the Cowboys, at the Titans.
All right, so, I mean, they'll I don't know if they'll be favored in all four of those, but
they should be.
All right, at the very least, they should go 3-1.
Depending on what the Chargers do this week. You know, Chargers are going to be, you know, they play the Titans this week.
Mm-hmm.
They beat, see, and that's the thing for the Jets. Like, you see, look, these two teams got to play each other. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
You got me?
Yes.
I will get back to the football in a moment, but there was news in the podcasting world where two people that we know quite closely were involved in the news, Sal and Gio.
Yeah.
How about that?
Wow.
They are making news. Sal was with Christopher Mad Dog Russo on the Jimmy Traina podcast, and Russo made it very clear that these two owe some money.
If he's not getting that high heat money, you and Giannotti definitely have to pay him back now.
That's a good point. And that's a lot of money, that high heat money. What are you doing there, Sal? You know what, Sal? Write yourself a check, mail it to Connecticut, have Jimmy put one of those stamp of authenticity things on it, and I'll cash it quick before it bounces, and you can have Giannotti do the same thing.
Mm. So there are two sides to every story here, and I've told this story before on the air. So I get sucked into his, and it's my decision. I'm not blaming that, but it's the family thing. You know, right. This guy I grew up with. Are you in or you out? You know, and I'm sitting there making, I believe, either $26,000 or $31,000 a year. And he goes, we're going to have runs, hits, and errors today. Cubs, Brewers, are you in or you out? And I'm like, all right, I'll be in for 50. So, oh, no. 250 or more. I'm like, dog, are you part of the family or not? We're all in the family.
Man, I'll tell you what.
So I'm like, all right, fine. He's like, what? You know, after I say I'm in, he's doing his whole thing. He's in. He's part of the family. Ah! So like, I'm feeling great. Loss. Bang. He's like, don't worry. We'll get it back tomorrow. Boom. Loss. So then I'm down $1,100 to dog's bookie, essentially. So, like, this is years and years and years ago. So I don't mind telling this story. This is what happened.
Yep.
I come in with a check, and I remember walking past control room on the left, Eddie Scazzeri's office on the right. I've got a check on me that I'm going to hand to dog. All right. Eddie Erickson walks out of the control room and he goes, "You planning on paying dog today?" Because I told him I was doing. He's like, "Don't do it." His bookie got shut down by the cops, and I was like, "Huh?" He's like, yeah. He's like, that guy's gone. We don't owe him any money. And I'm like, oh, great. This is awesome. So dog doesn't say anything because, like, he wasn't asking for the money. Nothing. So months go by, and then he leaves for Sirius for his $15 million contract. Nobody has heard from him. Nope. You remember this time, right? He was gone. Yeah. He was gone.
Oh,
called
he was
into Mike.
Here.
He cried. His dad came. Nobody had heard from him.
Yep.
So it was CeeLo in Astoria, picks up the newsroom phone, and he goes, what? Huh? Oh, yeah, he's right over here. Gio, it's dog for you. And I'm like, what? Like, there's no way it's dog. It's got to be Mike and Maya Pack Sour Shoes doing a dog impersonation. So I pick it up, newsroom Greg. Hey, listen, Greg, you still owe me that $1,100 for those runs, hits, and errors. I had a terrible weekend in college football. Lost about $30,000. So whatever you could send me, anything, a couple hundred, whatever it is. And I'm like, is this guy serious?
Mm.
So I, from my point of view,
there has to be a statute of limitations.
Well, also, from what I knew and what I was told... Was that the money that we owed one particular bookie was done because that guy was shut down and then those debts weren't.
And that was because Eddie Erickson told you
he
that.
He told me that, yes. Now, if they really still ended up paying that money, that's a different story. But
the number sounds right because this is how the podcast actually opens.
Jimmy, a pleasure. And Sal, $875 in cash. Let's go.
Is that the number, Sal?
That's the number.
No interest,
is that what Sal owes you?
And that was less than the babysitting credit that Chris gave Sal to take his kids to the park one day.
I mean, yeah. So he used to keep an index card inside of his folder with all the with the debt sheet on it, and that's I guarantee he still has it. Like if wherever he would be, ESPN series,
sounds
whatever,
like it.
He would open that thing up, be like, "All right, so 2007 Giannotti runs, hits, errors, $1,100." I mean, those were honestly was some of the best times like I ever had in radio was because we were all together. So it would be I had finished up producing Joe and Evan, Eddie Erickson and Sal were producing Mike and the Mad Dog. We have a day game Cubs Brewers on in the newsroom with runs, hits, and errors bet over under, which means every single play is like a thing. Like if you bet an under and over in that, like you are involved in every single pitch. So there was one. And like we're in the control room, like, and I'm in there like behind Eddie. Mike's not in on this, you know. And Joe Girardi is on the phone doing his weekly spot with them. And Dog goes because it was like extra innings, and we needed them to like not score or whatever it was. And Dog goes, "I need play by play in my ear." So as the Girardi interview is going on, Eddie Erickson's like, "All right, we got first and second. All right, counts 3-2." You know, and he would ask a question, and then he'd go back to right giving him the play-by-play.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was fun. I mean, I know that we've talked about how a lot of people get in trouble with gambling. I'm not trying to make it sound like the greatest thing in the world. You got to gamble responsibly, as we know. But during those times, we had a lot of fun and camaraderie in that Astoria newsroom, which has never really gotten back to that. And I don't think it just can't. It's impossible to get back to that feel in radio.
Well, there you definitely made the rounds podcast wise. So did your partner.
I'm a weather enthusiast.
Yes.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Yeah, that was on the Fox weather guys. Yeah. They have their podcasts. And
hey, Stephen Ian, great to be with you guys. It's great to see you guys are inside, not outside, battling the weather. But I will say this. I love your show, and I actually love everything about you guys.
That is the Fox News Weather Update podcast.
Yes.
Which, if you're around at 8 o'clock tonight, we'll drop at 8 p.m. tonight.
Yeah. Nice. I was also asked after that to join the podcast one day. Hey, we got Boomer on. Love to have you as well at some point.
Okay. You'd have got to be some sort of special loser.
Oh, it's just not nice.
Look, I'm a weather enthusiast.
I am a weather enthusiast. You guys know that.
Yeah, and they those are big fans, those guys.
Right, yes,
and,
they said that. But I've spoken about them many times on this radio program. One of their buddies, you know, tipped them off on that.
Yeah.
And so they
big Ranger
out.
Fan.
Yes.
Yes, and listener, I did.
Yes, 100%.
So you guys really making the rounds yesterday.
Yeah, big deal. Yeah, I mean, mine was a little more interesting.
yes, probably.
Well, I got 42 minutes to go through still, so we'll see what else we come up with.
What a niche podcast that is. Fox Weather Podcast.
Very niche, because what they do it around all the football games, like what's going on. So one of the games this week, you know, the Bears are supposed to have a very windy day. Outside Chicago. So these guys talk about, you know, the weather and how it impacts football games.
Really? Going to be windy in Chicago, huh?
Right, yeah.
No. You know, they should call it the Windy City, because it seems to happen a lot out there.
And you guys are bad, man. I'm telling you.
Going to be warm in Miami this weekend.
Listen, I can tell you one thing. I can tell you one thing. You know, you're not talking about, you know, sticks and berries like you and Al.
Oh boy. Knicks tonight home for the Bucks. The Nets are in Boston. The Sabres beat the Rangers 6-1. They scored 4 times in the second period.
Why so sad, Sugar Muffin?
The Devils beat the Canadiens 5-3. Islanders double up the Senators 4-2.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. This discussion happens on a nightly basis when I'm driving in. And it's all about what's going to happen with the Giants and the Panthers and what you root for. And I know that BT and Sal had this discussion, too, when they were yelling at each other and it turned into a promo about the tanking, or do you root for your team to lose? Do you not root for your team to lose? I have always, and I think there's a very practical, reasonable answer in here, which is that if your team is in dire straits
and absolutely needs a big-time player to turn your franchise around, like Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, Joe Burrow to the Bengals, like we can go on and on and on, then losing those games is better for you because it potentially gives you a better chance at getting that player. Not ensures it, but potentially does. So for every example that we give of, hell, Patrick Mahomes wasn't the first overall pick, or Russell Wilson was later in the draft, or Kirk Cousins was a fourth, you have what happened to the Giants last year, where you got a guy in Jaden Daniels that they desperately wanted, and they won too many games at the end of the year last year, that they could have had on their team. And we'd be talking about the Giants as one of the most exciting teams in the NFL. Maybe they'd be 7-2. You know what? They might be even better than that, because I think that Brian Daboll's a better coach than Dan Quinn. So I know that it's not a ensure, fail-safe plan, and no team is tanking, no players are tanking. But if you're a fan, I do think that you would prefer for the long-term health of your organization to put yourself in a position where you could draft the guy you absolutely want. And it may work out, it may not. But the worst case scenario is purgatory, where the guy that you want, you can't get.
Yeah.
And last year was that for the Giants.
Yeah, you know, from a player's perspective, you got to understand that being on losing teams, you want to go out there, you want to play well, and you want to put yourself on tape so that it's likely you're going to be somewhere else next year anyway. They'll keep their core group of guys that they believe in and that they can build around. But, you know, I would say at least half the roster is going to be gone.
Yeah.
So there's nothing better than winning a game and screwing over the franchise that is going to let you go. You know what I mean? That
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that the coaches do not want losses on their resumes. They want to win. And Brian Daboll is going to do everything in his power for his team to beat the Panthers this weekend. And they should. I think they're going to beat the pulp out of the Panthers, actually.
Do you?
I do. And but it may not be in the best interest long term of the Giants, but for the guys that are out on that field, man, they're competing. They want to win. That's all I know, you know. And they will put forth the effort to try and win. Now it'd be interesting because I'm sure that there have been teams in the past. Remember, it was suck for luck.
Oh yeah, yeah,
I mean, it was obvious what Indianapolis was doing.
Oh, no doubt. Yep. Yeah, I mean, and it hasn't been that obvious with some of the other teams, like the. The way we were talking about Trevor Lawrence that year was that he was that next guy, you know, and it didn't work out that way so far with Trevor Lawrence. But that when they, you know, the Jets won that game against the Rams out in L.A. and Frank Gore had a big game and Adam Gase had that big win. And, you know, that ended up being Trevor Lawrence to Zach Wilson. Now, Trevor Lawrence has not been that franchise changing quarterback, but he certainly was better than Zach Wilson is and was. But the only way the Giants get back to relevancy is getting that guy. Now
that may be Arch Manning in 2 years.
It may right. It may be, but that's it. So whatever puts you in that position to potentially get that guy is the way that you want it to go. And there's all sorts of ways that things fall. And maybe the Giants are in a situation where they're picking seventh overall and the best quarterback in the draft wasn't picked first or second or third, and then that guy drops.
Maybe he turns out to be, you know, Josh Allen.
Right. That could happen as well. But I still do believe that when you watch Hard Knocks with the offseason New York Giants and the way that they were talking about Jaden Daniels and Drake May, especially Brian Daboll with Jaden Daniels, they could have had that guy if they were worse. So every example of a quarterback that you'll give me that was in a different round, well, I'll give you one right here, that Jaden Daniels could have been a New York Giant if they were worse.
Exactly. But, you know, tell that to Tommy DeVito. Tommy DeVito didn't want to lose last year.
Hell no. No, it's a totally different discussion. You're right. Yeah. I'm talking about from a fan's perspective and how you're watching these games. The players are always going to play their asses off, and the coaches are always going to want to win.
Yeah, 100%. But the GM and the coach could manipulate, you know, some players. And, you know, and I remember, you know, them coming to me or people coming to me when I was playing saying, hey, we're going to make a change because we want to see the young guy.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, you're going to lose like five in a row, so good luck.
Well, didn't the Eagles do that at some point towards the end of the year? Then they put in that
They put in Nate Sudfeld because I think they had already – wasn't that the year after their Super Bowl or the year going –
I forget.
But they threw a game, essentially.
Yeah.
That didn't mean anything to them, but it meant something to the Giants.
That's right. That was a big deal.
And that's a different story. I think Doug Peterson was the coach at the time.
He was.
And he was trying to protect his quarterback and, you know, not put anybody out there for injuries. And everybody here got ticked off that they, you know, that they didn't try to win the game.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.